The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to America's Web Radio. It's time now for the Doctor's Lounge Show with Dr. Hal Schurz.
Welcome back into the Doctor's Lounge. I'm your host, Dr. Hal Schurz, and each week, myself or my co-host, Dr. Scott Barber, come to you to give you the information that you need to hear about regarding healthcare so that you can advocate for your family and for yourself and make the best decisions possible regarding healthcare with knowledge that we provide for you here on this show. We are brought to you by the Docs for Patient Care Foundation, which is the sponsor of this show. The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is the only physician-led healthcare think tank in the country. Docs for Patient Care Foundation is committed to the principles of the doctor-patient relationship and healthcare freedom for all Americans, and we fight every day trying to make sure that these principles are upheld, including this radio show. We depend on you for your support, and if you have not yet been a supporter, this is your chance to go to our website at www.d4pcfoundation.org. That's d4pcfoundation.org. And a small monthly contribution would be very appreciated. It's tax deductible. And I know in this climate right now that we are facing from an economic standpoint, money's tight and there's a lot of demands on our resources. I know I receive every day at least a dozen requests for help for political figures. But what we do transcends politics, and it really is important for you to understand what the Docs for Patient Care Foundation is doing is the work of all the people so that we can try to stand up a healthcare system that is going to be sustainable and help everybody. So please go to our website, and even $5 a month, that would be very helpful, although we certainly would be appreciative of larger contributions than that. That lets us put this show on and do all the other work that we do. You know, I have a few thoughts today to get into the show, which is going to basically cover where we are in healthcare right now. There's so much turmoil going on in the country. This is a whack-a-mole kind of approach that the left, that the Marxists want to see happen so that no attention can be concentrated on any one problem. There's so much going on that you don't know which problem to look at first. Is it the border, which we're not hearing about right now? Why are we not? Because of the pro-Hamas rallies and anarchy on the college campuses and on our streets. And we're not hearing about other lawlessness in the country, the rise of criminality in the streets. We're not hearing about the fentanyl crisis, which is killing more Americans than anything in our society. And we're certainly not hearing about healthcare, which the left is quietly undermining. They are doing things that are going to make it more difficult for you, the consumer, the patient, to receive the kind of health care that you hope to receive. what we're seeing right now is a sick society. And I've witnessed it, and I have friends who've witnessed it firsthand. I was in New York this past weekend and walked by one of those migrant hotels, and it's just unbelievable the flood of humanity doing nothing, just standing around because they've got no place to go and nothing to do. And we are providing everything for these individuals. We're the taxpayers who are funding their housing, their food, transportation. Often they have debit cards. This is a sick society. I have a friend who went to Israel last month and went down to Kfar Aza, which is the community that the brutal Hamas animals killed, burned, raped, beheaded, captured innocent people who were doing nothing but having a breakfast in their homes or at a music festival. And he saw what the aftermath of this was all about. The depravity, the absolute disgusting inhumanity that was perpetrated on the community. The world is sick. The world is upside down. It's on fire. And the enemies of this country, the Marxists, the left, are relishing the turmoil, the sickness in our country. And we need to get back on track. All of this happened under this president. I don't think that you can take any blame away from Joe Biden, because he is presiding over what is happening in this country. And he has the power to change things, even though he said that he doesn't. Just yesterday, he was saying that if there's more than 4,000 border crossings, he'll enact an executive order to shut down the border. This coming after he said there's nothing that he can do. So clearly, there's always something the President of the United States can do. He is just willfully allowing America to go down the tubes. He is supervising this. He is responsible for this. And if you think 4 years more of this is going to be a good thing, you're in for a rude awakening. You will never, ever be able to recognize our country again if we have another 4 years of Joe Biden. With healthcare, what is happening is that there are things happening behind the scenes that aren't really getting very much attention because of the whack-a-mole strategy of the left, and nobody is paying attention to this. Some people are. I've often recommended the healthcare news that is put out each month by the Heartland Institute, and it is something that puts a number of important healthcare stories, issues together in one readable periodical that you can really understand what is happening. And I'm going to use this month's healthcare news to tie together the chaos in healthcare that is being overseen by Joe Biden and his administration. Joe Biden has been re-regulating everything in the United States, healthcare being one of them. When President Trump was in office, he was actually deregulating healthcare and making it easier for people to get the kind of healthcare that they wanted. And it's unfortunate that nobody's talking about healthcare, because if they were, and if people understood the differences between these two men, perhaps they would rally behind Trump, as unpopular as he is with so many people. I've talked to many of my Jewish friends who have been staunch Democrats for their entire lives, and their families have been Democrats for their entire lives. And they see what's happening right now, especially with the anti-Semitism, the anti-Israel position, the lack of leadership and moral compass on the part of Joe Biden and his party. When you have Chuck Schumer, the highest ranking Jewish politician in history, who cannot have the clarity and the guts to speak out against the pro-Hamas wing in Congress and against what's happening on college campuses, we have a major problem. We need to fix this. We need a cure. Let me tell you the differences in healthcare between Trump and Biden, because the differences are vast. With President Trump, he wanted healthcare to be tailored to individuals and to families, and was trying to allow people to have healthcare options outside of Obamacare, which strictly regulates the healthcare market. All of the executive orders that were put into place under Donald Trump were rescinded under Joe Biden with regard to healthcare. Now, when it became apparent that the market was in free fall, Congress, the Democrats in Congress, responded by creating enhanced subsidies. If you remember, subsidies in Obamacare were intended for people who were earning 4x the poverty level, which meant about $96,000 a year. They got different levels of subsidies. Well, they increased it because nobody liked what they were getting from the Obamacare exchanges. The amount of money for a family of four and a silver plan under the Obamacare exchanges averaged a family $26,000 in premiums, with another $18,000 in exposure with deductibles and copays. And this means that for a family of four earning $100,000, 40% of their income would be devoted to health care, which is ridiculous. But the Democrats want to regulate healthcare because they want control over the public, not because they want you to have better healthcare or more affordable healthcare. Just the opposite. It's worse healthcare and it's less affordable. Under President Trump, there were ways that people could manage chronic diseases. They were able to use their health savings accounts and support certain chronic diseases like diabetes, heart disease, and other chronic illnesses, and manage their care with the money that they have personally put away into their health savings account. The Trump administration allowed employers and insurers to allow coverage for maintenance drugs for 13 chronic conditions without having to engage the very onerous HSA regulations. Well, this was all thrown out under Joe Biden, and now people with chronic illnesses and expensive drugs, they cannot access their own money in their health savings accounts to pay for these drugs, and they've got to come out of pocket for these drugs. Under Donald Trump, insurance was portable. There were people who were getting their health care through their employers, and before Obamacare even came on the scene, the employers were giving their employees pre-tax dollars so that the employees could purchase insurance that the employees themselves owned. So they were getting employer-based insurance, but the insurance was not tied to their job. The employees owned their own insurance. Well, when Obamacare came on the scene, that was completely shut down. Under Trump, a Trump rule allowed that to be reinstated, and again, that was completely eliminated under Joe Biden. So the employees now can only get insurance that's, quote, Obamacare compliant insurance, which means higher copays, higher deductibles, higher out-of-pocket premiums. Under Donald Trump, the ability for people to get their own doctor, direct primary care, was very much encouraged, and there were measures that were being put in place to allow people to access their health savings account to pay for a DPC doctor. It could never be codified because of crazy IRS and Treasury Department rules. It's possible to fix all this and to codify it with a Congress that will work with the president and will allow these initiatives, these reforms to be put into place so that people can get the health care that they want. Imagine if you were able to get a health care plan that was, let me say this differently. For people who had a health plan through their employer, if they changed jobs, if they wanted to move to a different position, and they no longer had the ability to continue on the health care plan that their employer was providing, because there's a way that you can continue on that. It's called COBRA, which is continuation of coverage, but it's very expensive. So people who were changing jobs were often stuck. Well, there were options where people could get a short-term, a limited duration insurance plan called an STLDI. It did not typically cover pre-existing conditions. It's one of the limitations, but it did cover catastrophic problems. So if you were in an accident, if you had a new disease that was not pre-existing arise in between jobs before you got another insurance plan with a new employer, you were able to purchase this insurance at a fraction of what the Obamacare plans would be, and you would be able to continue on this for a year. Obamacare came along and pretty much cut the legs under this. They said that you couldn't continue on this for more than 3 months. When President Trump got into office, he reinstated the short-term health insurance plans. And not only did he allow people to go back on them for a year, he allowed people to remain on this and renew it for a period of 3 additional years. Well, the Biden administration is getting rid of this as of September 1st. Why? Because this is too good. People like it. They are able to tailor the kind of health coverage that fits the needs of themselves and their families without having to pay outrageous premiums for things that they can not ever make use of. What good is a maternity plan for a 55-year-old woman or a 55-year-old man for that matter? So this is what you are paying for under Obamacare plans or even under indemnity insurance. And so if there's an opportunity for you to tailor your insurance to your needs, you can save a tremendous amount of money. Now, if you couple that with a direct primary care doctor, you would be able to get virtual total coverage for under $10,000 a year. And this is a threat to the left, to the Marxists, the Democrats, because it undermines Obamacare, and it will eventually, Obamacare will eventually see a slow death as fewer and fewer people are participating on the Obamacare exchanges. So what has to happen? Biden has to eliminate this opportunity for the majority of Americans. If people do have a pre-existing condition, they can buy a secondary insurance plan that covers that particular problem. Now, that would cost them additional money, but it would cover that pre-existing condition. And so there are examples that give you a tangible dollar amount that show what would happen with the ability to tailor your own health care. Kansas State Senator Beverly Gossage is a health insurance agent, and she used an example of a client that she had who needed emergency gallbladder surgery. And this patient had a short-term plan. But because the emergency gallbladder surgery was not the pre-existing condition, the short-term plan covered the entire $95,000 treatment bill, less the $2,500 deductible. And so this patient was able to save tens of thousands of dollars by not being on an Obamacare plan. There was another example of a patient that opted for a short-term limited duration insurance plan from United Healthcare, and the plans and the major companies are the ones writing this, so these are not necessarily fly-by-night operations. The United Healthcare STLDI cost this particular patient $274 a month, which is $3,600 a year, with an annual $2,500 deductible. The cheapest Obamacare plan for this particular patient at the time was $744 a month with a $6,000 deductible and fewer options for who this patient could go to seek help. This particular patient who has the short-term plan required several surgeries, and they lost their insurance, but because of Obamacare rules, they couldn't get onto an Obamacare plan for over a year. They had to wait for an enrollment period. And now this patient is basically left without any options and has to pay out of pocket for any medical problems that comes up. So the objection to these short-term plans is not that they're low quality, but it's instead they are so good that consumers are choosing them as a reasonable alternative to Obamacare. Department of HHS and CMS and other healthcare agencies under Biden want to see this go away so that they can boost Obamacare. So this is the difference between a Trump presidency and a Biden presidency, just with federal regulation alone. But it gets worse than that, because we have secretary of HHS that's really not a healthcare person at all, but a political apparatchnik who's a lawyer and a former California politician who is now implementing the plans of the Biden administration. I'm going to tell you more about that when we get back into the show in the second half. So stay with us. This is Dr. Hal Schurz from the Doctor's Lounge on America's Web Radio. I want to thank you for your support. Our show is brought to you by the Docs for Patient Care Foundation, which is the only physician-led healthcare think tank in the country. Our website is www.d4pcfoundation.org. We need you to support our organization so that we can continue to bring you this show and the information that you need so that you can support the healthcare of you and your family.
Hello, I'm Dr. Mike Karuchak. Have you ever wondered what doctors talk about amongst themselves? If you do, join us on the Doctor's Lounge and hear the doctors' conversations amongst themselves. Join me and my co-host, Dr. Hal Schurz, every Thursday morning, 8 to 9 a.m.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Okay, we're back in the Doctor's Lounge, and we're talking about your health care and how 4 more years of Joe Biden is going to make health care a thing of the past for you as you know it. We have a Secretary of HHS, Xavier Becerra, who is Not a healthcare person at all, but he is a political operative who is carrying out the orders. He is overseeing the desires of the Marxists in the Democratic Party who are trying to undermine healthcare and make it such that the government will control all of healthcare. And everything that's happening that's wrong in healthcare is to make things so bad that the government control over healthcare is the only option. Secretary Becerra was grilled before a House committee in March on the House Ways and Means Committee to talk about the allegations that the Biden administration puts politics ahead of patients. And they addressed a number of issues about the flawed implementation of a bipartisan law to end surprise medical billing in hospitals. They also talked about a ridiculous law that the White House put out that required mandated levels of nurses in nursing homes, otherwise they would not be certified. So there was a rule that was put in place in 2023 that stated nursing homes that participated in Medicare or Medicaid, which is under the purview of CMS, which is what the Secretary of HHS oversees, they would be required to meet specific nursing staff levels. They required a minimum of 0.55 hours of care from a registered nurse every day and 2.45 hours from a nursing aide, which exceeds the minimum standards, the existing standards in most states. And beside the fact that this rule will cost nursing homes over $40 billion to increase their staffing, what it will do is it will make nursing homes so unaffordable for people that they can't go into them. It would make nursing homes close because they can't afford or meet those staffing requirements. And it would make the problem of nursing home shortages more acute than it currently is. And it was pointed out by several of the congressmen on the committee, who are doctors, that up to 280,000 seniors could lose their spots in nursing homes. But even more important, it was pointed out that these new regulations were unattainable because there's a nursing shortage in this country. And the secretary was asked, where are the nurses going to come from? You can't just pull them out of the air. It's like saying tomorrow all cars should be equipped, able to fly. And if you don't have a flying car, you cannot operate any other motor vehicle. Or more to the point, every car needs to be an electric car. And if you don't have an electric car, you can't operate a motor vehicle. You know, you just can't will these things to happen. And that's what this secretary, this person under the Biden administration, and we don't know if it's Joe Biden making these rules, his people making these rules, the secretary, it really is immaterial because everything flows from the top. And as long as Joe Biden oversees what's happening in healthcare, he is responsible. Now, there has also been medical device inaction, the Trump administration gave seniors immediate access to new devices that were being approved by the Food and Drug Administration under Medicare. But under Joe Biden and Secretary Becerra, Medicare is not allowing these new innovations to be available to seniors. So you seniors out there who are listening to this, or if you've got a parent or a friend who is a senior who's going to be depending on Medicare, take heed, take note that this administration is denying you the innovations that are already approved by the Food and Drug Administration. And why? Cost savings. They don't want you to have these expensive but better treatments that are available to you for your chronic conditions. The committee members grilled the secretary on the fentanyl crisis and on the border crisis. And basically, made him take responsibility for the inaction of the administration in tackling one of the most insidious problems that we have in our country today, which is affecting our youth and is the number one killer of individuals in the 18 to 25 year old age group. And what was the response of the secretary? Well, we're moving to try to make naloxone and other treatments available to counteract the effects of fentanyl overdose to keep a person alive and make them more available, which is really just unconscionable. Instead of tackling the problem at its root cause, which is to cut it off at the spigot, they're going to come up with ways to help people who might overdose from fentanyl. That is so lame, but so typical of this administration. And then finally, they grilled the secretary on the foster care system, which the HHS oversees, and it has to do with the unaccompanied minors that are coming across the border, and they're going into a foster care system that is already strained, and they're going into unregulated facilities, into unregulated homes, and these children are being put in harm's way. And the approach of HHS is really crickets. They're not doing anything, and this is just getting worse and worse. This is Joe Biden. This is the left. This is the Marxists. This is healthcare in America in 2024. What do you think it's going to be in 25, 6, 7, 8? It's not going to get better. It's only going to get worse. I said that healthcare is in chaos. It's in free fall. And that free fall has to do with letting the more powerful entities, the rich get richer, the more powerful get more powerful, at the expense of you, the patients. There are basically four models of healthcare distribution or healthcare delivery. There's a university which employs all the doctors, and the doctors act on behalf of the university. There are the hospitals. The hospitals, for the most part, for the most part, have tax-exempt status because the government grants them tax-exempt status. So they operate like a gigantic monopoly in many areas, and they are shielded from regulations and other rules and laws that private entities have to heed. Then there's private equity. Private equity is when you have a business that believes that they can make money by incorporating a number of medical practices and having them increase their revenue so that they can, this private entity, the private equity group, can then sell this conglomeration of medical practices to another private equity firm that believes that they can make money from healthcare. And you can't make money from healthcare unless you can find ways to pass it along to patients, or deliver poorer quality care. So with the university model, the hospital model, the private equity model, all the doctors who work under those models work for somebody else. They don't work for themselves, and they don't work for you, the patients. And these entities are thriving. Why? Because it is becoming so difficult for doctors to run their own practices that they have no choice in many cases other than seeking getting into one of these employment models so that they can continue to work. And I will tell you that the patients are the losers in all of these models. Let me point out some of the warts in these models and how they hurt you in terms of care or money or both. So, there was a hospital in Texas, which is in partnership with a private equity group, and they're part of the University of Texas system in Tyler, Texas. But because they have partnered with a private equity group, the doctors who are really in the private equity group, but the private equity group has obtained privileges at the university system, so they all have university appointments, they are shielded from malpractice because in Texas, entities employed individuals by a public universities who work in a clinic are shielded from malpractice claims, even though they are owned by a private equity group, but because they have medical appointments, academic appointments at the university, they get to fall back on being public employees. And this is so egregious because you can have two doctors, one in private practice and one who is working for a private equity group that was smart enough to get an arrangement with a university to shield their doctors against malpractice. They can have the same malpractice event, and the doctor who's working for that private equity group that has an academic appointment, is held harmless, while the doctor who is working for themselves has to face a malpractice claim. That's unfair to the doctor, but it's exceedingly unfair to the patient who has no recourse and cannot get any kind of financial remuneration for a doctor who has committed an egregious malpractice event against that patient. And this is something that's happening more and more, and this is good for the state because they get money from private equity groups. It's good for the private equity group because they are shielding their doctors against malpractice. And this is the Wild West in healthcare that's happening right now, because the rich are getting richer, the powerful are getting more powerful, because this is what the left, the Democrats, the Marxists want to see happen. Make healthcare get so unwieldy, get it to be so egregious for patients that there's only one option: for the federal government to swoop in and come to the rescue and save everybody, fix everybody. This is another incredibly egregious issue that came up that exemplifies how broken the system right now is. Hospitals are buying up medical practices. That's been happening now for decades. And more doctors are owned by hospitals. In fact, over 65% of doctors in America are now owned by hospitals, which are getting more and more powerful by the day because of the lack of regulation on these entities. I'll get to that in a few minutes. But because a doctor has now sold their practice to a hospital, they are now hospital employees. They don't necessarily change geography. Can be in the same office doing the same thing that they did before they sold their practice to the hospital. But now what is happening is that the hospitals are charging the patient facility fees. And it's as if you were coming into the hospital and getting some treatment in the hospital. The typical approach, the typical charging for those services is that the hospital will charge a patient a facility fee for using the facility and a professional fee for the care that the doctor gives to the patient. So if you go into to get x-rays, you get charged the facility fee and you get the professional fee. That's why you may get several bills from the hospital if you get your care in the hospital. Well, now this is happening off-site. It's happening in your doctor's office. And if you don't know that your doctor is now a hospital employee, you might get a surprise medical bill from the hospital, which you never even engaged with, for a facility fee. And this is happening more and more, and it is outrageous. It's a new form of surprise medical billing. You know, when a private entity does something like this, like a small medical equipment firm, for instance, bills Medicaid for services that are not rendered, they will get indicted for fraud. But if a hospital is doing that, it's okay. And officials just say, well, that's horrible that this is happening, but, you know, it's perfectly okay. Well, it's not okay. It is not okay at all. What would fix this problem are taking away the power from these hospitals. And there's many ways to do that. I've spoken about this on previous shows, but site-neutral payments, paying the same amount whether the care is delivered in the hospital, whether it's delivered in a doctor's office, it would solve this problem because it would take away the incentive for hospitals to buy up doctor practices. The only incentive for them to do this is because they could make more money. And there used to be a law in place which was the law against the corporate practice of medicine. And that law is no longer enforced. Most people have heard about Kaiser Permanente. Kaiser Permanente was started because of the corporate practice of medicine. You had the Kaiser Hospitals, and the Kaiser Hospitals wanted to have a closed staff. But because of the corporate practice of medicine, they couldn't hire doctors. So what they did was get together with a group of doctors, encouraged them to form their own medical group, which would then have exclusivity at the Kaiser Hospitals, and they would work together. And that's how they got around this business of the corporate practice of medicine. But the laws have not been enforced. They've become lax. Nobody really cares. Obamacare prevented doctors from getting together and opening up surgery centers. But they didn't prevent these hospitals, which were big, from getting gigantic by opening up and having multiple locations, hiring doctors, gobbling up real estate, becoming monopolies, and the losers in all of this are the patients who are paying more and more and more. And if we don't get on top of what is happening in healthcare right now and get rid of what is detrimental to patient care, to patient patients' pocketbooks, then what we're going to wind up with is our single payer system, and it will be a Canada-like situation where people will have to wait 6 months for care. If you get to be certain age, you won't get certain state-of-the-art procedures. As I pointed out, Medicare patients right now are not getting state-of-the-art FDA-approved treatments under this HHS. It's interesting. I'm going to share one quick story if I can before the end of the show. It was, it has to do with Medicare. Medicare is so complicated. As someone who is facing, an impending, entry into Medicare, I can tell you that there's the different parts of Medicare, as people know, Medicare Part A, Part B, Part D. Part B is the part where you get your care with doctors. Part A is hospital. Part D is the drugs. Well, straight Medicare is excellent because it covers costs, but it is there are less and less doctors who are taking straight Medicare. There's also copays and deductibles. So what happened was that the insurance companies went into the Medicare business, and they decided that there was money to be made, just like the examples that I pointed out to you moments ago. So they offered for seniors Medicare products. So what did their Medicare products do? They allowed seniors to enroll. So they had straight Medicare, and then they had what's called Medicare Advantage. And the Medicare Advantage is a Medicare HMO. And so they would have, the patients would have no copays, no deductibles, but the trade-off is that they have a panel of doctors that they need to see. And again, there are fewer and fewer doctors on that panel. In many cases, the good doctors that they want to see are not on the panel, so these individuals are stuck. So then what is the alternative? Well, they have something called a Medigap plan. And Medigap plans are available to Medicare enrollees, and they have to pay a little more in premiums. But guess what? As opposed to the limited panel on Medicare, as opposed to the limited panels on the HMO Medicare Advantage, the Medigap plans allow for an indefinite range of doctors. Most doctors will accept that. And so more and more individuals are migrating to Medigap. Well, guess what? This, again, undermines the government plan to put people into plans that they can control. So once again, just understand that if the government is limiting you or taking away your options or telling you something is bad, if the Democrats are telling you that, then it's probably good. And if you don't make a change at the ballot box, you're going to get more of the same but worse for the next 4 years. It's not just at the White House. We need to put new regulations into law, which means a Congress as well. This is in our grasp. And it's up to you to take back health care. You have a choice. And if you are obtuse and you are just so emotionally driven to vote anything but Republican, you are going to be the loser come 2025 moving forward. So make the right choices. Start thinking and start looking at what's happening around you so that you can make the healthcare decisions that you need to make for yourself and for your family. Thanks for being with us today, and I will be back behind the microphone in 2 weeks. Join my co-host, Dr. Scott, next week for the next episode of The Doctor's Lounge.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.